On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care. What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Alex Smith.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk
with JP Finley.
This is now the second year with Greg Minuski running this defense. Have you guys grown a lot as he's taken over more?
Yeah, of course, man. Minuski, he's a maniac, you know what I mean? I think, the defense takes on his personality. He's crazy, he's insane, he's always talking crazy, and he just wants you to play as hard as possible. And I think once guys really buy into that and understood what he wanted out of you, he wants you to, make sure you're perfecting your craft and doing this and that, but at the end of the day, he wants you to play as hard as possible and be physical. And when you start doing that, he's going to dial up some blitzes for you and let you go do your thing. And we know what he's thinking. We know what he's calling against certain looks. And once you get that between me, DJ, Jano, and the rest of these guys, it lets us play a lot faster and a lot more free.
Not participate were Crowder ankle, Thompson rib, and Williams thumb. Limited were Laval calf, Peterson shoulder, Richardson shoulder and knee, Nicholson neck and hip, Bibbs shoulder, and Anderson knee.
Quentin was full.
Yes, he was.
Of the DNP guys, anybody that you know is going to be out on Sunday?
Crowder, for sure. I'll be out.
What up, everybody? JP Finley, Redskins Talk Podcast. You got me, Kime, and Mitch in Mitch's car. We all got microphones, though. How's everybody doing, fellas?
I'm happy because I have a mic. No Peter Haley.
Yeah, hey, nobody's going to take
shout
it
shout out,
you.
Pete.
You know, people always say you're quiet on the pod. So Kime has his own mic. We checked all levels. If he's quiet, nobody's doing anything wrong.
We can blame Pete for that one.
Sold. Give him the old chest poke.
I'm good for blaming Pete for everything.
All right. Pete's not here. Pete was in studio. We're all out at the park. A lot of things to discuss off the top here. We got a really good Mason Foster interview coming at the end of the podcast. Also, it's time to get serious. We're going to have a Christmas party. That is something we talked about before RT passed. It's now November. It's time to work. I'm starting to work. If you are a bar that wants to host us, if you have ideas, I'm open to anything.
If you have a giant backyard for us to all camp in.
I got that. You want to come out there, Mitch?
That's a little too far away.
I think Ohio's closer.
Listen, I think you want to do a podcast in the backyard.
You're our guy.
If you're throwing some brisket on and smoking it, I'm in.
We may do that maybe next spring.
I'm interested. But I don't know that Kime's inviting everybody. We are inviting everybody. This is going to be a legitimate podcast party. We haven't had one since Richmond. It's time to get going. Just so you guys know, we're on it. We're going to figure out a date. We're going to figure out a location. But keep December open. All of it. How's
all
that
of it.
Sound?
All every right. day is December.
Also, before we go to the Mason Foster interview, something personal I want to talk about, a good cause that I'm going to be a part of and want to encourage anybody else that wants to be. All right, before we get to any of that, thank the good folks, Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them, so Mitch, the other people should what?
Definitely ride with them too.
All right, it's time for injury conversation, and it's significant. Jay Gruden on Thursday ruled out Jamison Crowder for the Falcons game. Not a huge surprise.
Not entirely surprising.
And not a huge loss because they've been playing without him for two, 3 weeks.
Right. This will be his third game.
Is it a bigger surprise than it is loss, John Kime?
I think if you go back to Monday, I'd say it'd be a slight surprise because there was optimism at that time that he might get back this week. But I don't think it's a big surprise at all because he hasn't done anything. And I think they just want to make sure that as a slot receiver, if your ankles aren't right, it is hard to get in and out of those cuts the way you need to. So I would think that next week is a better chance for him, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't seen much from him other than working on the side field. So right. Generally, if we don't see a guy even put on a on the pads and jerseys, or at least shells and jersey or whatever, you kind of feel like there's not a lot of chance that he's going to get going.
Yeah, and once he wasn't suited up Wednesday, that was it.
Yep.
Yep.
Two guys we don't know enough about. The Trent Williams situation, it doesn't sound like Trent's playing this week, at least.
No.
Jay Gruden told us on Thursday that Trent was in Pittsburgh seeing a thumb specialist, and it sounded like surgery was an option on the table. He also told John Keim not to text him to try to figure out what the results were from the doctor.
No, it's tough to text without a thumb.
Well, I think Jay meant text him, not Trent. But yeah,
either way. What I've been saying all along, though, is like when I see Trent not play, I'm surprised.
Right.
So I'm going to assume he's playing until I see him not dressed, no matter how much the outcome sounds like it's not going to like that's not going to be the case.
Were you there? I don't know where you might have been in New York after the Giants game when we got to talk to Trent, and he was talking about the injury and talking about the pain and talking about the ability to play against the Falcons. And I am with you 95% of the time. Yeah. I assume Trent's going to go and push through it. This one sounded different in New York, and it's Thursday. So everybody knows we're recording this Thursday night. It's Thursday night, and Trent's in Pittsburgh, and we don't know if he's going to play. I don't think he's going to play.
I don't think he's going to play either. And I think there's another guy we're going to get to, too, who's the same way, where you kind of can get a feel from them because they usually play.
Yep.
But Trent's definitely one of those guys where if he's worried about it, then I think, you know, that's cause for concern. But the hard part is, you know, he's played with leg injuries all the time.
Right.
And it's hard for them. But when you can't use your hands, it's really hard.
When you don't have the grip strength, it's definitely
correct.
A problem on the offensive line, especially
correct.
With those quick defensive ends
correct.
Around the outside.
And then when you look at, like, I remember talking to Colt McCoy about this. He had the thumb injury this summer, and he was showing me this protective device they made for him to stabilize it and all that so he'd be okay with it. But it's different when you're trying to grab onto a lineman every play.
I'm not saying that I expect him to play, but I'm going to be surprised when he doesn't.
Oh, yeah, and that's the
risk. That's what I'm going to say.
And that's what he's earned over the years.
Yeah. I don't think he's playing. I think they'll be okay because the Falcons' defense is pretty beat up. I wonder what the long-term situation is with Trent, especially that Jay kind of teased in a way that surgery was on the table.
Yeah, surgery happens. That turns into a multi-week
right.
injury more likely than not. So that definitely becomes a little bit of an issue.
And the good thing for them is, and I'm sure you get into this, is Ty Insecki can go in there and play.
Right.
And
Ty's best position is left
tackle. Left tackle. And, you know, it's funny because he had a couple of nice blocks last week, although one of them where he basically throws Vernon to the ground, I don't even think it was supposed to be. I don't think that was even his block to make. I think that was Sprinkle coming over, but it's still an impressive block. And it didn't hurt the play because Peterson still had a nice gain because there's a good hole, but he can move guys. So they'll be
absolutely.
Okay.
The big difference between the two of those guys is in space. Trent
right.
is one of the best in the NFL.
He might be
in space.
The most athletic tackle in
he
the
might
NFL.
Be. Insecki is athletic, but he's no Trent Williams in space.
Do you remember that second 10 run that Thompson had last week, 10 yards?
Yeah.
That was because of Trent. Because
was that when he buried Landon Collins?
Yes, but before he buries Collins, he shoves the linebacker.
Yep.
The linebacker gets bumped a yard back. And that was all Thompson needed to get around there. And then because he buries Collins, he gets the last 2 yards. But that was because of exactly what you're talking about.
The one point I wanted to bring up real quick.
Sure.
We talked about Adrian Peterson's run a lot, the 60-yarder. What wasn't talked about at all was Chase Rouye came around and sealed the middle linebacker.
Yeah.
And Trent did a great job of getting the second level and getting the other outside backer, leaving nobody to pursue AP from the backside. And that was impressive from those guys when you talk about an offensive line getting out and getting to the second level.
Was certainly impressive. I'm guessing Mr. Keim was foreshadowing the Chris Thompson injury
yes.
situation. I don't think Thompson's playing. And maybe it's premature on that, but talking to Gruden, so Thompson hasn't practiced all week, and then talking to Gruden after practice, I kind of asked him if the Byron Marshall thing was about, you know, and they have started the clock on Byron Marshall.
Yes.
That's all they've done. He's not on the roster. People need to be clear about that. Like, Byron Marshall is not on the 53. Don't expect him to be out there Sunday unless some significant maneuvering happens. But between Gruden's answer and just kind of talking around some folks in the building, I think the rib situation with Thompson is significant, and I don't think he's playing against Atlanta.
I definitely agree with that. Definitely. But I'm looking at my phone because I'm getting a call from Russia.
Well, so, you, go ahead and take it.
They might have some intel on Trent Williams.
Evidently, they have good intelligence.
They might be listening in. They might be disagreeing with what I'm saying. Anyway, but yeah, with Thompson, I think he's another guy that he's pretty good. If he feels like he has a chance to play, he'll kind of let you know.
Right.
You know, and same with Trent. Like, Trent's always like that, how long have you covered me? That's right. What he's saying. Chris is almost a little bit like that, and he did not come across as very optimistic, and I haven't gotten that sense from anybody I've talked to that he was going to play. So I don't expect him to play. I think it's good for them that they have Bibbs going and all that, but I don't expect Chris.
Yeah, I mean, you look at we look at Chris Thompson out of practice, and he just doesn't. He doesn't look mobile, comfortable.
He looks uncomfortable.
He looks uncomfortable standing around.
Yep.
Watching,
and he's like keeping his arms in pretty tight. Doesn't want to. Yeah.
It's like it's not a fluid look. It's not the look of a guy who's one of your quickest players on offense.
He looks like a guy when you're talking to him who looks to be uncomfortable. When he just in the facility when you're talking in the locker room, we talked to him on Wednesday. Looks uncomfortable sitting down, but he looked pained. Saw him on Thursday going to sit on the couch, and it just like said hello to him, and he's like, usually he's an upbeat guy, yeah. Very happy and all that. He just had a pained look on his face.
There are plenty of guys that cut through the training room to get to the locker room, mm-hmm. walking off the practice field, and that's kind of their universal sign of like, hey guys, like I don't really want to talk today.
Correct.
I'm kind of doing my, I want to do my own thing, and he definitely took that. The direct route, and that's definitely not the Chris Thompson that we all know.
Correct.
Right. A little bit of good news. I don't even think it's a debate at this point, barring some kind of weird setback. Quentin Dunbar is going to play Sunday, and that's really good news for this secondary going up against the Falcons.
And it's important for it, one, because he's a good player.
Yep.
Two, because Greg Stroman is not ready to face this kind of an offense. And, I mean,
Stroman's been all right, man.
He's been okay, but he's not.
Right.
You don't want to. It's not fair to him to ask
Agreed.
This of him. I'm not blaming him, but the situation called for him. And the other factor is these are some big, taller receivers, and you have a guy also in Dunbar and Norman, both who have length. I think that helps them against.
Dunbar is what, 6'3"?
Dunbar is really physical.
6'2".
6'2". Or so. He's long arms,
yeah.
Though. Athletic. I mean, that, so that matters against this offense.
And it's good that Stroman got a little experience. I mean, he was able to get out there, so you know that if you need him, at least you have a baseline of what you're going to get out of him.
Correct.
Yeah. I think the experience for Stroman was a really valuable thing that may come up later this year, man. I mean, NFL's a long-term injury risk.
It usually does.
It's not week to week.
I have a quick question, just injuries. Capri Bibbs hurt his shoulder last week in New York. Has there been any talk about
He's been going.
Anything?
Out there. I mean,
he's been going.
Okay.
Yeah, so
you wonder – getting Byron Marshall's clock going, I don't think that's just about Chris Thompson. I think that's
Correct.
Partly about Capri Bibbs as well.
Yeah, because Jay did say that they were going to activate him.
Right.
It's just a matter of when. And so whether when is then, okay, if you're going to do that, who's going to be left off?
Well,
and it's obviously going to be injury related.
I don't know if this was you and I on the sideline today or what, but down at practice, I was talking to somebody about it. Throughout the Bibbs-Marshall tenure, it's always seemed that Jay has preferred Marshall.
Yes.
You think about last year, they brought Marshall in first, then they brought in Bibbs. Yeah. This, I mean, way back when we're sweating in August in Richmond, Marshall seemed ahead of
Marshall
Bibbs on the depth
ahead.
Chart. Yeah. So yeah.
They've always liked him. His problem is just staying healthy.
Right. And I don't think when you only have two of these spots, I don't think in any way can you just make that move because you like Marshall more than Bibbs. You make that move when there's an injury, when there's a situation that forces it.
Correct. And because the other thing, too, is Marshall's insurance for them right now.
Right.
So you don't have to do anything now.
You get 3 weeks, right?
Don't do anything until you have to. I have a feeling. And it may just be that they're going to try and get whatever they can out of whoever's there. And then kind of like if it's in a wrestling match, you go tag the next guy to bring him into the ring and, try to get through the rest of the season that way.
You know what's remarkable about all this? What does any of this mean for Samaje Perine?
I've been saying it forever.
It ain't good.
You can't trust the guy on the football field. I don't know why. I mean, I guess you keep him on the team because if something happens to AP, you need somebody to step in who can be more of a first and second round.
Yep.
But I mean, I
kind of think they would want Mac Brown to do it. Now, we don't know his health, but
Yeah, you can't put a guy on the field that you can't trust to hold on to the football. And
that's a big thing.
And he's proven time and time again that he gets second and third and fourth chances.
And Jay's proven that he doesn't tolerate it.
Yeah.
Unless you're like, yeah, I mean, and the hard part with P. Ryan is when you'd watch him run this summer, he actually looked more confident.
Yeah.
He did look more comfortable. And then the fumbles are like, all that goes for naught because you've got it. He's got, you know, it's one thing like Peterson fumbled the other day. And I know throughout his career, that's been a knock at times. He's fumbled once this year. And you can't, you know, the hard part with P. Ryan is like, it was way too much this summer. And it was in practice. We just saw too much.
It was practice. It was in the preseason games against second and third stringers. It wasn't even against us.
Sometimes it wasn't even a fumble. It was just losing the ball that they may have been. They didn't call it a fumble, but in a game it would be.
And the drop pass. I mean, it's all of it is.
It's hard. It's hard.
It's unfortunate because he's such a specimen of a dude. Like, he's so huge and strong and fast. But if he can't hold on to the football, it doesn't make a whole lot of difference.
And like I said, it's a shame because he was running better. He definitely was running back.
All right, and all you need is one fumble to kill all that.
Oh, yeah. Well, that happened in the preseason.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, it happened early.
Okay, three segments coming up here. Before we go, Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. You need to ride with them. Go check out Oarsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge of Alexandria. Go buy a car. Tell them JP told you to buy it, and send me a picture on Twitter, and Mitch will retweet it. And I'll retweet it, and Kyle will retweet it. How's that
sound? Sure thing.
All right.
Get a Town and Country.
Yeah, get a Town and Country. It's a nice minivan. Do they still do wood paneling on the side of those vans? That was a hot look in the late 90s.
But, yo, the minivans now have the auto door openers on either side.
Yeah.
Front.
I find that annoying. All the cabs have that.
I love it.
It drives me crazy because I never know if I can open it, if he can open it. There's all this, like, awkward waiting for the door to open.
Yeah. I always,
if you were less awkward, JP, it wouldn't be an issue.
John voted on my side.
I had that same issue. I didn't know if I should shut it or not, and your impulse is to shut it. And
indeed,
it's, you know, the things that we have to deal with that people don't know.
I know, man. We're living tough lives.
This explains your low Uber rating.
I have a good Uber rating. Pete messed up my Uber rating, and I won't tell the story on air.
We already did.
Again, did we?
One time.
Well, I'm not going to sell it again, I guess. Oarsman Automotive of Virginia, that's who we ride with. Okay, here's what I want to do. We're going a couple Tandler specials today. I think this is a good week to try to guess the inactives on this roster.
Oh, jeez.
I think we know one is Crowder.
Casey Dunn.
Samaje Perine.
Samaje.
Chris Thompson, I think.
Thompson would be out.
Does that mean Perine's up?
Oh, it would be. I'm sorry.
Right.
I take that back. Yeah, absolutely.
So Crowder, Dunn.
Adonis.
Crowder, Dunn, Thompson, Adonis.
If you guys don't think Trent's playing.
Trent.
Right?
Yeah. Right.
So two more.
Well, that's two O-line. Is that normal?
Yeah, normal.
Yeah, that would be.
Somebody on the D-line probably.
Oh, D-line.
Whoever.
So, Caleb Brantley.
I think Caleb Brantley was active last week.
Well, aren't they only at five active on the D-line right now?
Yes, because they didn't replace
him. Right.
That's right.
So you may go just with.
Maybe it's Ladler? And four safeties are active? Because Troy Apke's been inactive a bunch.
I would say it would be Ladler because you're not keeping that many.
Right, so that's six. We're still one short.
One short.
Receiver.
Oh, Brian Quick.
But we said Crowder already.
Quick.
So two of them.
Yeah. Just like last week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because Chesson stays up because that kid, is going to make a huge play this year.
Yeah.
On special teams.
The one game he played before they cut him and then re-signed him to the practice squad, he made two great special teams. He almost blocked two punts.
And it's his coverage as a gunner. He's really good in that area.
Let's run through this in the at Redskins Talk Pod on Twitter can keep track of it. So we got Crowder.
We're going through this way too quickly if we're doing a Tandler.
I know. This would take half an hour. Crowder.
I think
Crowder. Quick. Trent.
Casey
Thompson. Casey Dunn, Adonis.
Ladler.
And Ladler.
All right, that's what we think.
Seven?
That's seven.
I will point out that Kenny has been pretty good on special teams.
He has been, but that's
he's a numbers game, which is troublesome.
That's the problem.
But you're also a Kenny guy.
I am.
I will point that out.
But he's played
from
well
the
on
beginning,
special teams.
And Mitch has been a long-time Kenny
long-time
guy.
Long-time Kenny.
Day one of training camp, when we did our, what did we do in training camp?
One thing I saw,
I was on Kenny, so. He's played well. He's proven well.
Indeed. That was fun. All right. Now it's time for over-unders. fellas, the Alex Smith over-under is getting ugly.
So 125?
I mean, you say it, but you're not going 225.
No, no.
191?
I think you got
to
go.
I say 199. So you're saying he gets to 200?
Sure. Okay, I'll go under.
You'll go under 199?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm under 199 too.
And
I'll go over. I think this is a 210 game. I think he gets over the Mendoza
shootout
line.
Wow.
Mendoza. But all right, so we're setting it at 199.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And two unders and an over.
199 and a half. We got to throw the half in there.
Sure. Fine. Even though you both went under with no problem.
I see that.
I think the Falcons run D is
exactly
26th in yards per carry.
4.8.
I think they're gonna be handing the rock off a lot.
Exactly. I do too. All right, so that brings us to our next over under. Adrian Peterson.
Over.
Whatever the number is.
137. Not kidding.
Dude, I think it's a 3-digit number though.
Is it?
I mean,
he's averaged 3 digits in his last.
I was going to say 99 for that.
In their wins, he's averaging like 110.
I mean, he had 149 on the ground last week.
Yeah.
And the two games before that, it was like 99 and 97.
Yeah.
So I'm not a math guy, but average that out, it's got to be a $120 or something.
You're not a math
or
guy.
Or something.
What is it? John, you tell me the number then.
They give up 112 yards per game. So I think you probably have to go.
Smith gets a little bit of that, and Bibbs probably gets a little bit of that.
Right. So I think you're going to have to go 95. Do you go?
Mitch's 99.
I like
99.
Okay,
then let's go 99.
Let's stick right at those thresholds.
Over.
Mitchell. Kime is on the books. Over.
I mean, I hate following Kime, but I'll go over too.
Oh,
dude, it's a party pot. I'm going over too. I think for this one.
You don't think?
We'll explain in how the game unfolds what we all think will happen.
Mike, quick, you don't think that Trent possibly not playing affects that number?
I think Nsekhe can play left tackle.
I think where it hurts, where it could hurt is, and Peterson was talking about this on Thursday, it's a fast defense. So that's so the size can take care of that, but if you're not quick, it's going to hurt you. So I think that's where it kind of bears watching on the edge with that. But I think it's a pretty – they do a really good job. They've done a good job of being very patient with the run game and Peterson too.
Yeah.
So I think that helps against that sort of speed. But that's one of the things to watch with that, where Trent's athleticism I think really helps.
Yeah.
All right. It's time for the wild card over-under where fans submit, listeners, everybody. First one, I tweeted this out at JP Finley NBCS. First reply was our guy Ben Standig, who said half a snap for Trent Williams. I think we're all taking the under on that.
I'll be surprised, but it'll be the under.
All right. Our boy Mark says over under 50% of the total sacks made by Payne Allen Ioannidis. I don't even think Vegas would take that action. That'd be a surefire over the way things are going.
Yeah.
Johnny Cakes, not John Kime, but John Auville from the Junkies, Money Metal Cakes. Indeed. He says Julio touchdowns, the number is zero. And I think that is a goof on fantasy owners that are so frustrated by Julio Jones' complete inability to get into the end zone. So somebody said Alex Smith at 205. We said it even less than that. This one's kind of interesting. Josh Doctson, 5.5 catches. Coming off his first ever 5-catch game.
Yeah, I think you got to go under on that one.
I think so, too. I don't think that's our thing. I like this. Julio, 7.5 catches. The one that I really like, and this is from Johnny Gaccioni. A couple different people sent this in. There's two that I like. Over, under, Clinton Dix defensive snaps,
yes.
50%.
Oh, under.
So you're going under 50% of the snaps for Dix.
So yeah. I was thinking about it. I wanted to do a number of snaps, 25 snaps.
It's got to be percentage because who knows how many snaps they'll get. You know what I mean?
They're going to get 60 snaps.
I think we do a percentage.
Okay.
Well, if you're then you're still going under.
That's what I'm saying. I think it's under. I think it will all go under 50%. But I think if we.
You guys think that?
Yes.
I think he's going to play. I just don't think it's going
to
be.
I think it's hard to play that many snaps when you
fresh off the boat.
Yeah, and especially because they don't need him to. That's why.
But do we know that Monte's good to go? We talked to him in the locker room today. He's like, "Yeah, I'm fine, man. It was nothing."
He seemed. I mean, he was moving okay out there.
All right.
The biggest.
Let's
thing
do Clinton Dix snaps then, because this is relevant to the trade this week. you two set the number. You think it's 35%?
33%.
33%? So that's what, out of 60?
Third?
20 snaps out of 60. You think a little higher than that?
You think?
No, I think that's about right.
Yeah.
That's what it's supposed to be, yeah. John.
So here's
what that's
here's
what Vegas tries to do.
So
God, it's always as hard to bet.
Yeah.
So I'm going to still go under.
Did I just move the whole car?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm still going to go under that
33%. Candy at me.
I'm still going to go under that 33%. The biggest reason why, and we saw it in New Orleans a lot, they have a lot of auto adjustments on the defense. And
yeah,
that
you
saw when
know,
one
right?
guy doesn't get that auto adjustment, what can happen? As we saw receivers running wide open. So it's not necessarily picking up the defense and the verbiage, but it's going to be knowing when to adjust to two or three deep versus man or whatever they're in coverage.
That's a great point. I think, I don't know if it was Minuski or Gruden talked about.
Interesting question.
Who's
thank you.
Is Siri just randomly chiming in?
Yo.
Siri, what do you think?
Siri thought that was a good question.
But I do think that's a great point because cover two, you know, cover three, single high, all that stuff is basic, but it is the rules within each defense.
What triggers the switch.
The triggers, yeah. And they do that a lot. And so what is going on in this car?
There's a ghost in the car, I think.
But I think so. I think that's a great point. I was going to go under two, but it's also because, again, they don't need him to play that much as long as Monte's fine. And, you know, let him learn the defense. Because this defense has been built. The defense is playing well, especially at some of those positions, because they're playing – natural and with speed. And that comes from a comfort level within the defense. They don't need to put a guy out there who's not comfortable yet.
And it's not like
that many spots.
And it's not like Monte's been bad.
No.
You know?
According to Pro Football Focus, he has.
Well, if you're putting all your chips on Pro Football Focus.
I'm just telling you a metric that exists, he's the lowest rated Redskins defender.
John, do you think he's been bad?
No,
I don't think he's been good.
I think he's been there.
Yeah, okay.
He's been fine.
I think he's been there. What he's done is he stayed on the field. By staying on the field, he allows DJ to stay in the box.
Right.
That's allowed DJ to flourish. So that's where, to me, Monte's biggest contribution so far has been staying healthy. So I think eventually Ha-Ha will be out there as a starter, but
absolutely.
You know, clearly not this week. And I think
it's kind of weird getting used to saying Ha-Ha also, right?
Like, well, it is because
– You're trying not – it's an interesting name.
Well, like
I'm used to it.
On Twitter, I'm not an LOL guy.
Right.
I feel like I'm not young enough to say LOL.
I usually go HA, just a single ha.
I'm ha ha or ha if it's funny, but ha ha if it's funny. So now I have to put ha ha in parentheses, not ha ha.
Not intentionally, but that was your best like Jerry Seinfeld ever impression. Yes. Not ha, but ha ha.
What's funny is you go a single ha, you go ha ha. If I think it's funny, I'm like eight ha ha's in a row, and my phone auto corrects. When I just type H-A into H-A-H-A-H-A-H-A-H-A across. And so now it's tough when I try and write ha-ha Clinton Dix. It's like 30,000 ha-has Clinton Dix.
So the number is 33% of the defensive snaps.
33% of defensive snaps.
Yeah, I'll go under.
You both went under.
Yes.
Check this out.
Uh-oh. Oh.
I'm going over. And I'm going over for two reasons. One, because ha-ha looked me in the eye like I was a complete like, I did not understand what he was capable of.
He looked into your soul,
he
not
looked,
just your
he
eye.
He deep into my soul, and he's ready to play, dude. And I think he's going to be out there. I think DJ wants him out there. I think Josh wants him out there. I think the Bama boys want him out there. And here's the actual nugget, right? And I'm sure you were in the bubble today, but Kaim, I'm sure you noticed this. The DBs stayed out on the practice field at least an extra half hour today.
Yeah.
All of them. And I don't think they're doing that unless they're trying to bring him up to speed on checks and, you know, hey, we drop into single high here. We drop into cover two here. I think they are all working hard on getting him up to speed, and I think he is all in on it.
And I agree with that. I think that's a good point. They do that, you know, anytime there's a new guy coming out there.
Sure.
That's that, like when Dante Whitner was here and all that, they did all that too.
Jeez, remember that?
But I just –
Did
I think,
you say Hittner?
Yeah. I think
he was a good player at one point, but when he got here,
not when he got here. But I think the hard part again is you do want a guy playing. I think here's where it helps him is that DJ will communicate pretty well, and I think that helps him. But I also think it would just be hard to play that much. But you know, we'll see.
Circling back to the beginning
of the
pod.
Good observation.
Circling back to the beginning of the pod, you'll want to listen here. for Mason Foster's interview because he talks a lot about what the team does on Thursdays and Fridays away from the facility.
Yeah.
And that goes a long way towards
the bowling and stuff.
Yeah.
The bowling.
And I don't think it hurts that Thursday night is DB night either.
Exactly.
So they're all geared up together.
They're all getting dinner
film.
Together. They're all watching film. They're all hanging out. So
you think we could ever get invited? Should we all hang out on Thursdays and Fridays?
No.
I think we hang out enough.
Wings.
We should go back for
wings.
But that is a good point because it's funny. They were talking about that after the game. I think it was like Mason and Casanova McKinley and
Casanova's apparently a pretty good bowler.
Yeah, and right. And so, you know, but when you hear that, it's like when you start to hear that stuff, good things typically follow that. And, you know, and I think when the DBs started getting together after the Saints game, good things have followed most part.
Mace made that point. He was saying when you start seeing these guys voluntarily getting together, everyone has a lot going on in their lives, wife, kid, family, everything else. But when the guys are voluntarily getting together on after practice and at night and stuff like that, to A, watch film, or B, just hang out and play video games. They're talking about wanting to play Papa Shot and stuff like that. That's when you really see teams grow as a team.
And that's why I always laugh. Like, there's so much that gets put on the coach, and the coach is. But it's oftentimes when the players take charge of the situation is when the team start to rise. And when they care about the guy next to them. And
big time.
Making
that's
the block,
exactly what Mason said.
Yeah, yeah, and they say, that was the Gibbs times. That's what they did. And that hasn't always been the case here. You might hear it sometimes, but I'm not sure that I always believe it.
And what I think Gruden alluded to is that after that Saints game, they could have fallen apart. And they didn't, and I think they're a better team because of it now.
Agreed.
Oftentimes in the NFL, players are their own industry. They're worried about themselves, and you don't feel that team camaraderie. Like, you think about the 1980s 49ers, the 90s Cowboys, these teams that were together for a few years, and everyone liked each other. This is starting to feel like a team that is a team that cares about each other outside of football that
and
wants
it's easy when you want like and we all have to write these stories and do these TV hits where we talk about the camaraderie and stuff during training camp and stuff. But dude, it's November 1st. Like the leaves are falling. You know what I mean? Like it's real football time and it feels like that, and which is important, I think.
And you know what helps that too? I think that's from the defense side on offense. I think the way Adrian Peterson has come in and his attitude and mindset, I think has helped that as well because those guys always talk about his humility and the way he works and even in the meeting rooms and how he's basically, he lets Randy Jordan coach him and the things like he'll come off the field and he'll ask guys, what did you see? When you start to do that, a different relationship, you know, it fosters a different relationship. And I think that sort of humility from a Hall of Fame type player helps out.
Not to mention, a lot of times you see the offense and the defense in these situations where the defense is playing so well and the offense just isn't scoring.
Yep.
You kind of see that schism, right? Like the defense gets a little frustrated. They don't know what the hell. You don't see that here. The locker room is still on the record and off the record, more importantly, all in on Alex. There's no questions about Alex, and you don't have receivers talking. You know what I mean? And he hasn't performed that great.
But the one thing defensively, they do two things that defensive guys love. They run the ball, control the clock, and they don't put them in bad spots.
Yep.
That's a huge key. So they're going to love anybody who does that. So I think that goes a long way.
And it's a nothing thing. But when Peterson had that fumble in New York, and Smith ran down, I can't remember who it was that picked it up and could have scored. And Alex, we haven't seen him that fast when he's running
that's
bootleg
the
or something.
I've seen him run.
But a lot of quarterbacks don't make that play.
Kirk Cousins did in the Pro Bowl.
Sure. But few quarterbacks make that play in the regular season.
And if he doesn't make that play,
he probably scores. It's entirely different.
If he doesn't score, he's getting 10 to 15 more yards. Now you're in a different spot. They forced a punt on that drive.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Because I think they got the ball, like the 40.
Yeah,
39. And if he doesn't get him, then he's probably getting, again, I remember you try to watch it and gauge where a guy might get him. It's like you just conservatively, it's another 10, 15 yards.
All right, it is time for how the game unfolds. Mitch, you want to start? I can start. Whoever wants to start. Anybody?
I'll go. Okay. I think the Redskins are, as we've talked about, are going to run the ball a lot. I think they're going to control the clock. I think this week we're going to see AP run a lot more between the tackles because I think the Redskins have a distinct advantage in size and strength over the Falcons.
It's also what you like to see.
It is what I like to see, and I think we're going to see a lot of it. So I think I think we're going to see AP with a number of carries this week, the number higher than 20. I think the Redskins are going to pull out a tight one, 27-21.
It's an offensive explosion at 27. I'll go. We'll let Kime go last. I think it's funny. I promised myself last week that I would predict the Redskins' loss this week just because it's getting harder and harder to go on these win streaks. You know, not a lot of teams go on four-game win streaks and beyond. But I'm not doing it. I think I've looked at a lot of numbers this week. The Falcons aren't very good on the road. And it's a small sample size. They've only had two road games, but they've lost them both, and they're averaging about 14.7 points a game.
How are you able to come up with that average?
It's 12 plus 17. I don't know. What is the average of 12 and 17?
14.5.
Damn, so I botched that, huh?
Yeah.
I never actually, like, wrote it down. Well, anyway, regardless, you talk about the explosive Falcons offense. We haven't seen that outside of Atlanta. I think the Redskins defense is going to be able to get to Matt Ryan, and I think there will be big plays, but it's kind of similar to what they did to Odell Beckham and Saquon Barkley. Both those guys went over 100 yards. Now, Saquon's are rushing and receiving combined. Odell went about 115 receiving yards, but they kind of did it quietly. There weren't explosive plays, and I see a similar game unfolding. I think the Skins will be able to throw the ball a little bit more. I'm the only one that took 200 passing yards for Alex. I think the Skins win this thing. Again, kind of ugly, kind of close, but I'll put them right on their average number of 14 and 24-14, 24-17, something like that.
That's an offensive explosion.
3 points less than you.
I'd have put them at 14.5.
All right, I have a feeling I might hear about that one.
I was going to do the same thing. I went into today thinking Atlanta wins and the three-game streak snaps. Atlanta seems to be playing better. Offensively, Matt Ryan is playing at a high, high level. Ridley, Julio Jones, very good, obviously great player, especially Jones. Their line has some issues. I think the Redskins match up well along the line, and I think they can pressure Matt Ryan. I think he's been sacked like 10 times in those road games, and that's five per game.
Five per game. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So I think
5.5 or just a clean five?
just five. But so I think that's a good matchup there. The other thing that swung me was the way the Atlanta cannot stop the run.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. I think they have that size. They know they have the size advantage. They know they have a muscle advantage. I think that's going to work to their favor. So I think they can control it. I do think it's going to be a close game. I do think the Redskins win 23-21. And like I said, I'm surprised that I went that direction. But
each week you watch, you buy in a little bit more.
A little bit more.
Well, and I like the way they play, except for the pass game.
Yeah.
The pass game has been bad, and it's not just the quarterback. There's multiple factors. He's got to play better.
A lot of wideouts are running awful routes. They're not spacing it at all.
How many times you see them on crossing routes bump? I see it every game. They're bumping into each other. And then you see the spacing on some of the routes is really bad. But the quarterback has to be better, too.
Right.
So
if he makes a couple of easy throws, you wonder if it doesn't start running downhill and they start gaining some steam. And then
there are plays there to be made.
Right. Agreed.
That's why I know they could have gotten a receiver, but there are plays there. The improvement can come from within. I don't think it's going to be a great passing game, but it can be better. So, yeah, that's the way I'm going.
The one thing that I really want to see is we've seen them shut down three very good running backs.
Right.
I want to see them against this elite receiving group. They might not be great on the road, but these are the top two, three receivers here are amongst the best group in the NFL.
Just like Beckham, Shepard, and then Evan Ingram. Too,
yeah.
Yep.
So let's see them do it.
And I agree. And they're different types of receivers too, because they do have some speed there too. And I think it is a great challenge. And for this defense, it's like, okay, we stopped the run. Now people are going to say we can't do this because
exactly.
The last guy who tried to throw on us was Drew Brees, and he did it.
But again, the Saints could run the ball. This Falcons team can't.
Correct.
The Colts had an incompetent running game and were able to throw the ball on them. So
correct. And I think Julio Jones scores this week.
Good for good for Junkies Cakes.
Yeah, good for cakes.
Like all right. Unless anybody else has anything.
Nothing.
Going once? All right. Before we get to our Mason Foster interview, and Foster, 14.5. He was damn good. I want to talk about something a little bit personal. Dear friends of mine, their daughter Rachel is going to Jerusalem to take part in a 10K as part of the Jerusalem Marathon. 10K is what, 8 miles, something like that?
something like that.
More than I could run. 7.2 miles.
Really?
So
7.2.
Here's what she's doing. Rachel is raising money for children with disabilities, special needs kids, and that's something I always want to support. And I want to support. If our listeners are into it, if you can give $5, if you can give $10, it's a worthy cause. She's doing the work. She's doing the running. She's flying to Israel to be part of the marathon. But she's also doing the work to raise money for these kids that need it. I'm going to be part of this. And if you guys want to be part of it, I'm going to post the link on my Twitter. I'm going to post it on my Facebook page, and I'm going to see if old Mitch and John Kime can do the same.
Yep.
Look for that. This is Run for Shalva is the organization, and look for the link. It's a good cause. Support it.
And there's the thing. She's going over to Jerusalem to help do this.
Right.
That's a hell of an effort that's being made to do this.
Yeah, it's
absolutely.
It's big time. It's big time.
She's running the 10K.
Right. Yeah. I'm just going to give some money.
I'm much happier giving money than attempting the 6.2 miles.
Not to it keeps going down, Mitch.
It was 7,000, 10,000. What do you want from me?
You're not a math guy either, but you may be better than me. All right, that's it, folks. Here comes Mason Foster. Thank you very much for listening. John Kime, thank you. Mitch, thank you. Go follow us on Instagram, at Redskins Talk Pod. And here's Mason. As always, thank you to the good folks. Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. You should, too.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chevy Buick GMC. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.
Second and 10 at the Redskins 39. Manning takes, pockets collapsing, fires it off. It is caught by Beckham at the line of scrimmage. Mason Foster wraps him up by the midsection, and he loses a yard on the play.
5-2, 2-0 in the division, three-game win streak. How good is this Washington Redskins team?
I think we're good, man. You know, we've been working hard for a while, and, you know, coaches are pushing us to that level. But, you know, so I feel like it's still early in the season, even though, you know, it's, you know, we're halfway through or whatever, almost halfway through. But, you know, I feel like we're heading in the right direction. And, you know, sky's the limit. Guys have to stay locked in and keep preparing the way we've been preparing and practicing the way we practice. And I think we can be really good.
Defensively has been the strength of this team so far. You've been here a few years now. You've played with some different guys.
Yeah.
What do you think of this defensive group?
I think, man, we play well together. You know what I mean? I think guys, you know, really love each other, and it means a lot to everybody on this team. You know, even the scout team guys, they bought in right away. The younger guys, Tim Settles, Deron Payne, you know what I mean? So it means a lot to us, man. You could tell by the way that we practice, the way that we hold each other accountable. So being here and having a group so tight-knit, I think that lets you be able to correct mistakes about how hard you play, because you're playing for the guy next to you, and I think that's a key to a lot of success we've been having.
How tight are you guys, really? Because I hear this stuff, like Monday Night Football, are you getting together to watch it? Like, I know the DBs do their own kind of film study night. Like, beyond what happens here at Redskins Park, like, how much are you actually texting with these dudes, or what is
it? Yeah, I mean, it's all the time, you know, really, it's all the time. And, you know, we'll get together, like, you know, Thursday nights and go watch a game, you know, go watch Thursday Night Football. We're doing bowling on Friday night. We did bowling last Friday night, and, you know, we whooped them.
Just linebackers or whole defense?
This was the whole defense. On Friday, usually Thursday, you do more of your position group stuff, or you go eat with, you know, one of your teammates or whatever. So we're doing bowling Friday night, and last Friday night we beat them, you know, me, Fee.
Is this the linebackers you're saying beat?
This is everybody. Yeah, linebackers beat the DBs. You know, we got on them real quick. It was easy money.
Where's the D-line?
Where are they at? They did something, you know, them guys always got something going on, you know, boxing, you know, they're doing, you know, gym time or something. So,
yeah.
But, you know, it doesn't really, you know, whoever shows up, man. You know, we know guys are busy and got their family stuff to do, but it's fun, man. So we're going this Friday night. We got the rematch. They want a rematch. So
who's the best bowler?
Man, I mean, I want to take it, but Monte kind of showed up. He was the only person out of the DBs who actually was doing all right. Swag looked all right, you know what I mean? But he fell apart when, you know what I mean, when it came down to team versus team.
What are, like 120, 150, 85? Like, what level of bowlers are we talking about?
I would say the game that we played against each other, everybody was over 100.
Okay.
Pretty much.
That should be the baseline.
Baseline, exactly. So I think I got to, like, 130. You know, that was my first time bowling, you know, since the shoulder and stuff. I think Monte was the leader with – no. Fee had, like, 140-something, so – and Cass did all right. Casanova had a good score, but I think Monte was like one, maybe like 150. But I mean, I really think that was luck because he was doing horrible. He just like took off. I'm like, it's crazy, but it's always fun, man. No matter what you do, you know, it's good to hang out with these guys, man. They're really cool dudes on and off the field.
What does the rest of the bowling alley do when there's like two lanes full of NFL players?
They
ask for autographs or like?
Nah, it was crazy because I had never been there to the one in Leesburg, but they have, like, private lanes. So We have, like, our own thing. You know, it was cool, though. You know, I kind of wanted to go play some video games or, you know, go see who got the best shot or whatever. But it was cool. You know, it was all sectioned off. But nobody was really, you know, messing with us. Everybody's cool out here. You know, you got to love it.
I'm kind of nasty at Papa Shot, just for the record.
Yeah, I mean, some people are, man. It's crazy. I didn't see some people go crazy. That's why I want to go over there this week. I'm going to go see who got the jumper.
So you've talked about that there's obvious real chemistry. I would surmise that the chemistry helps when you're playing really well, right? Yeah. I mean, doesn't that make you want to hang out more when you guys are winning and dominating?
Yeah, of course. You know, so, you know, it's just always good to see. You know, I feel like on this team, when one of us makes a play, I feel like everybody makes a play. Like Zach said it last week in the Giants game, like, you know, one of us gets a pick, one of us gets a sack, Josh got that sack, we all got a sack. You know, that's how it feels. And it's good to get that type of support from, you know, your group, you know, from your guys and the whole defense. And it really helps on the field, definitely. You know, when you hang out, you know, you play cards in the locker room, you know, you go back and forth talking crazy, play video games together. You know, it may seem little, but, you know, when you're not around each other and we all have our own families, anytime you get to spend together and, you know, you could do something like that, it's really cool. And it definitely does help you out on the field and you get to know somebody off the field.
All of that said, this week you guys added a new piece to this defense that's already performing well. Haha, Clinton Dix. What was your initial reaction to the trade?
I was excited. You know, I was, it was like shocking because, you think about him as being such a big time player, you know what I mean? And then you get him in a trade like randomly. I wasn't even thinking anything like that. So, but it's good, man. You know, it's always good to add a talented person, you know, an experienced person to the group. And I think you know, he's going to do good, man. He looks good out there. He's bought in right away. He's hanging out with the fellas already. So I'm excited to see him play on Sunday, man. I think he's, you know, he's going to be a big-time player for his organization.
Speaking of big-time players, you are a sure tackling linebacker. You've been that your whole time here with the Redskins. Yeah. How much does it help to rack up tackles when you've got these young guys in front of you on the D-line?
It's big. You know, those guys, you know, they're handfuls. You know, you can see it every game. You know, even if they're not making the splash plays or, you know, getting the sacks, you know, even though they have been killing everybody, getting sacks, making tackles for loss, but just the way that they run to the ball and how physical they are up front, it allows, you know, the linebackers to flow and, you know, take shots, you know, because you know you got a guy like Deron Payne and Ionite is running behind you. So if you miss, you know what I mean, you can take your shot, and if you miss, he's going to be behind you, and then you got ZB and Swag and everybody else coming down. So I think just them, how physical they play and how stout they are up front, it allows us to do a lot of things around them that's helping us, you know, be successful.
Well, and do you guys have any cool nicknames for them? Because fans are trying to come up with them, and the Alabama Wall is kind of cool, but that's just Payne and Allen.
Yeah.
Like, you got to include Ionitis.
Yeah.
You got anything for me?
Nah, I mean, I'm trying to think of something.
What do you call that? He's a man of few words.
Yeah, he is a man of few words. He doesn't really talk. You know, he's always working. But, you know, I used to call him, you know, Zeus or, you know, whatever, Leonidas from the, something to do with Greek or, you know,
300,
Greece.
Yeah,
300. So, he's you know, he don't really like no nicknames. You know, he just wants to work. You know, Matt's just that type of guy. He don't want any credit or anything. But
Payne and Allen seem similar.
Yeah, they're the same way. All them guys just, they really just want to hang out together, just work, and they're always like asking questions, always crafting, you know what I mean? And Jim Tom's always helping them get to that next level. And it's crazy to see, man, because you think about guys playing at that high level that, you know, some guys would like, oh, okay, I can rest today. But, I mean, I've been in here since January, you know, doing the rehab and stuff, and Matt has literally been here almost every day that, you know, on every off day working out. Him and John and Deron's in there, you know, he's in here. D lineman early, same time I get in, he's pulling in right behind me. So it's just crazy to see, you know, it's exciting to see like young guys work that hard and be that engaged into everything. And, you know, I think the sky's the limit for all three of them.
Last time you guys faced a high-powered offense, because the three wins have been impressive, and the Panthers are certainly a good team, mm-hmm. but none of them present kind of what this Falcons team does.
Yeah.
Last time you faced a team like that was the Saints, and it went bad.
Bad.
Will you watch that film this week?
What, the Saints one?
Yeah.
Not really. We know, you know what I mean? I think everybody knew right away that what was going on in that game, and it kind of just spiraled out of control. You know, you let one little thing, like a crack on your windshield, you know, it goes from like, oh, man, here's a little crack, we got to get it fixed. You don't get it fixed, it keeps spreading. I think that's exactly what happened in the Saints game. I think guys know, when we go up against a quarterback like this, you go up against a high-powered offense, you know, aerial attack, that there's going to be things that you're going to get beat on. You know what I mean? You're going to get beat sometimes. It's going to be a great call. You know, they got a great quarterback over there. So, you know, you have to keep playing. You know what I mean? And we're going to focus on making more plays than they make. And you just can't get confused and flustered and, you know, let that ruin your second half of football because you didn't have a good first half. You know, you got to play all 60 minutes. But it's really going to come down to make sure we know what we're doing, everybody being on the same page and executing at a high level because, you know, they have a lot of stuff that they use, a lot of motions, a lot of, you know, window dressing. But at the end of the day, if we play our game, you know, play hard, you know, focus on the little details, everybody do their job instead of trying to do somebody else's job, you know, we'll be all right. It's going to be a challenge, though, anytime, you know, you got those three receivers over there. But I think guys are up for it, man. The way that we've been practicing, the way that we've been, you know, studying extra, watching film, I think guys are going to be on top of everything.
Is there one key to beating the Falcons? Is it getting to Ryan? Is it containing Julio or any of the three wideouts?
Yeah, I think it's going to be, you know, getting to Ryan. You know what I mean? I think it's always tough, you know, because they're the way these offensive coordinators are now and the way they give the quarterbacks the keys, they're going to be able to check and get quick routes and throw screens. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, you shut down one thing at a time. And I think being successful these last couple weeks, we've done that. Like, it starts with the run game. First you take that away, then you want to take away the quick game. Then you make it, you know, a drop back pass game and let those guys up front hunt and let us work out our coverage and play off each other on the back end. And when you can get to that level, you know what I mean, but it starts by eliminating one thing at a time. So you can never really, it's going to be hard to stop a guy like Julio, but you know what I mean, you got to contain those type of guys. Don't give up those big home run plays and make them earn everything, and you know, you'll give yourself a chance, you know, in the end.
Well said. I think one of the, arguably the most impressive thing I've heard from Jay Gruden this season is that, and this is after a three-game win streak. You, yeah. You guys are hot right now. But he said this team, and really your defense, and you are a vocal leader. Guys look up to you. I see it every day in the locker room. That you guys had a choice after that Saints game. It was pack it in, fight with one another, or stick together, fight together.
Yeah.
How proud are you of your unit for choosing the better path?
I'm super proud. You know, it was, I've been on teams where that, a game like that could ruin, you know, it could ruin your year. And maybe not to the point that you may not see it, but, you know, guys aren't going to trust each other anymore. Guys, you know, maybe not work as hard. They don't trust this person or they don't believe what he's saying because he's not living up to what he was talking about all week. But at the end of the day, we all came together, and you've seen it on the plane on the way back home from New Orleans. Guys were up there talking about what they seen, what they thought, and how we can get this done. And, you know what I mean? I think that really, then we came back and practiced the next, that week of practice, guys were on fire. Guys were running to the ball, doing crazy stuff. I mean, we always do that, but you could feel the sense of urgency out there, and it's been the same way ever since. You know what I mean? Because we know that every game that we play in, we're going to have to fight for everything that we get. You know what I mean? It's already tough enough to play defense in this league, you know what I mean, against these great athletes and these great quarterbacks, but we're going to have to be on fire all the time. We got to start hot, you know, start fast and finish faster, because the moment you slip up is the moment that 40 yards over your head, and it's 21-0, you know what I mean? So guys are locked in on everything. You could feel it when, you know, even when we go out to bowl, guys are like, hey, I got to go home, and I want to watch this and this and this. I want to watch this. Hey, you seen this and that. So you get to that level of communication, that level of, like, locked in and want to, I think that's where, you know what I mean, you can get yourself over that edge, you know what I mean? And, I mean, we could feel it. I felt it, you know what I mean? But sometimes it is easy to go the other way. And when guys did that, man, it made me, you know, just want to do even more, whatever I could do to help this team win. And I think it just trickled down from there, and you can see it now.
9 games left. Start fast, finish faster is what you just said.
Yes, sir.
Is that sustainable?
It's sustainable, you know what I mean? It's sustainable. We got the best, you know, we got the best trainers, you know, the best strength coach. They have a bunch of stuff in there for you to use to get your body right. You know, we got Hutch in there taking care of the recovery center. And, you know, Jay's a great coach. You know, Minuski's a great coach. We got a bunch of great coaches in here who know how to take care of players but still push you to that limit, you know, where you're getting good work. And, you know, I'm excited, man. I think guys are, they can see it. You know what I mean? It's something that I've seen from January when I wanted to come back here. I knew that we could be in the situation, but, you know, you put yourself in this hunt, you know what I mean, in the middle of the season, starting to get cold, you know what I mean? It's physical football, and I think that's what this team is built for. And, you know, I'm ready, you know, we were all ready to make a run, and I think, you know, I'm excited to see what happens.
Thank you, Mace.
All right, thank you.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.